A jar of fermenting cabbage sitting on a kitchen counter contains in the first 24 hours a population biology more violent than anything else in the room. Dozens of bacterial species are competing for the same finite supply of cabbage sugar. Some will produce lactic acid and the clean acid bite of sauerkraut. Others will produce hydrogen sulfide, biogenic amines, and the unmistakable smell of putrefaction. The cook is not really choosing between recipes when starting a ferment. The cook is choosing which microbes win. And the single tool that controls that outcome, more decisively than temperature or time or starter culture or vessel shape, is salt percentage by total weight. 2% is the number. 1 kilogram of shredded cabbage plus 20 grams of pure salt, mixed and pressed under its own brine, will reliably produce sauerkraut within 10 to 14 days at room temperature. This is the canonical sauerkraut ratio, and with slight variation, the canonical kimchi ratio. Korean kimchi typically runs 2.0-2.5, accounting for the salt already drawn out of the brining cabbage. The Hungarian, German, Polish, and Alsatian sauerkraut traditions, developed independently over 1,000 years before anyone had a microscope, all converged on essentially the same percentage. They were not coordinating, they were tracking an ecological boundary that the cabbage itself enforces. The boundary is set by the salt tolerance of the relevant organisms. Lactic acid bacteria, Leuconostoc mesenteroides, which dominates the first phase of a ferment, and Lactobacillus plantarum, which takes over once the pH drops, tolerate salt concentrations up to roughly 8% by weight. Most spoilage organisms and pathogens do not. Escherichia coli is inhibited at around 3% salt. Listeria monocytogenes struggles above 4%. Clostridium botulinum, the organism that haunts every fermentation textbook, cannot multiply in aerobic conditions at all, and is further suppressed by the rapid acidification that LAB produce in a properly salted brine. 2% salt is enough to disadvantage the bad organisms without crippling the good ones. It is a deliberately narrow window. Push the salt down to 1% and the window collapses. The brine becomes hospitable to organisms it should not be hospitable to. A 1% ferment can still succeed if the cabbage is exceptionally clean, the temperature is cool, and the cook is lucky. But the failure mode, when it comes, is rapid and unmistakable. The jar smells of sulfur or rotting meat within 3 days. There is no salvaging it. The risk does not scale linearly. The floor is a threshold, not a slope. This is also why salt-free wild fermentation experiments produced by enthusiasts on the internet are, from a food safety standpoint, a bad idea most of the time and a lucky idea the rest of the time. Push the salt up past 5% and the opposite problem arrives. The lactic acid bacteria slow down. By 7-8% they have nearly stopped and the ferment arrests. It is no longer producing acid fast enough to reach the pH 4.0 mark that defines a safe and stable preserved food. This is not always undesirable. Japanese long-age sukamono, nukazuke, takuan, traditional fish sauce production, Vietnamese nukmam, Roman garum, Japanese ishiru, and miso fermentation all use salt percentages between 5% and 15%. They are trying to ferment slowly, over months or years, while letting enzymes, bacterial and fungal, do the work of breaking down proteins and developing flavor. Miso at 12% salt is essentially a controlled, decades-tolerant rot, where Aspergillus oryzae enzymes hydrolyze soy proteins into amino acids without the lactic acid bacteria ever gaining the upper hand. These are different ferments with different goals, and the salt percentage tells you which one you are making before you taste anything. The math is brutally simple and absolutely unforgiving. The formula is salt mass divided by total mass, cabbage plus salt, or vegetable plus brine, if using a wet brine, expressed as a percentage. 1 kilogram of cabbage plus 20 grams of salt is 20 divided by 1020, or 1.96%, close enough to call 2%. 1 kilogram of cabbage plus 30 grams of salt is 2.91%, a noticeably saltier ferment that will run slower. 1 kilogram of cabbage plus 10 grams of salt is 0.99%, entering the danger zone. The difference between a beautiful jar of kraut and a slow disaster is, in this case, a difference of 10 grams. There is no way to know that by feel. There is no way to know that by taste at the start, when the salt has barely begun to dissolve. The kitchen scale, accurate to 1 gram, is the only honest instrument in fermentation. This is also why volume measurements, a teaspoon of salt per pound of cabbage, the kind of instruction that appears in older American cookbooks, are unreliable for ferments. The bulk density of salt varies dramatically with grain size. A teaspoon of Diamond Crystal kosher salt weighs roughly 2.8 grams. A teaspoon of Morton kosher salt weighs roughly 4.8 grams. A teaspoon of fine table salt weighs around 6 grams. The same volumetric instruction can produce a 1% ferment or a 2.5% ferment, depending on which box happens to be in the cupboard. For boiling pasta, this does not matter. For determining which bacterial species inherits a kilogram of cabbage, it matters absolutely. The practical rule, then, is to weigh the vegetable, weigh the salt, calculate the ratio, and aim for the percentage that matches the ferment you want. 2% for short, fast vegetable ferments. 3-4% for cucumber pickles and other watery vegetables where the brine dilution is significant. 5-10% for traditional Japanese tsukamono. 12% and up for miso and shiokoji. The cabbage does not care about your intentions. It cares about your numbers. Once you grasp this, fermentation stops looking like alchemy and starts looking like what it actually is: ecology managed by chemistry, with the cook standing in for the gatekeeper.